For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to introduce you to the Union GK Premium. With Premium, you'll get vetted pro players and coaches, interactive breakdown sessions, and exclusive content from top names. Want to try it free for 30 days? Go to unionsports.com/content/join or download the app free at the Union GK on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me momentarily will be 99 World Cup winner Saskia Weber. But we got somebody, you know, who's just at the same level of a 99 World Cup winner. We have the one and only assistant coach for the Colorado Rapids, director of goalkeeping. You know him as Core Goalkeeping Academy as well, too. The one and only Sharpie, Chris Sharp. What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Same level as Saskia. That's not quite true, but I'll take it.
I mean, dude, you got a lot going on, and obviously in goalkeeping circles, people know you very, very well, at least here in the United States. I think you're one of kind of the people out there, a lot of people rely on for information to chat it about. And one of the things that Sharpie I've always loved about you is you're so open and honest and willing to give back to the community.
Yeah, you know, look, I'm a big believer in helping. You know, I think if we can develop goalkeeper coaches, and which helps obviously develop the young goalkeepers, it's huge. It only helps the country. And, you know, I'm not a believer in, you know, obviously there's certain things you want to keep in your back pocket, but I think if we can help educate, you know, for us in the positions that we sit, we're a little bit fortunate. If we can help educate people, I think it's fantastic.
You know, I think one of the things that it's funny what that you said that in regards to, like, there's a few things that we want to keep in our back pocket, but I think we're kind of very fortunate as goalkeeper coaches, as goalkeeping educators, that we can be a little bit more free with our content than, let's say, maybe some of the field coaches who might be concerned that tactically this might show some weaknesses or strengths of our team to opposition.
Yeah, I think, look, there's obviously many ways to do things as a goalkeeper coach, and methodologies and philosophies, everyone's got different ideas and different opinions. But, you know, at the end of the day, keeping the ball at the back of the net is keeping the ball at the back of the net, whether it's, you know, catching something, parrying something. Obviously, techniques and styles can differ here and there. But I don't think sharing technical aspects of goalkeeping training is something that we have to be concerned about, if I'm being honest with you. Obviously, you know, sharing tactical information about the team you're playing for, the team that you're coaching for, is a little bit different. But sharing the technical side of things and trying to help people build their own philosophies and their own styles, I think is very important.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because, you know, obviously you've been sharing not only with the Colorado Rapids, but you've been doing some work, you know, with the U.S. men's national team and in U.S. soccer and everything like that. Why don't you talk a little bit about that experience? Because I think some people here might not be familiar that you've been doing some work with that U.S. soccer.
Yeah, a little bit lucky. Obviously, you know, Anthony was the head coach there for the men's national team, and he asked me to come in and join a few things. You know, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go because we were still in season for the Gold Cup and the Nations League, which would have been great. But did the camp prior to that against Mexico, which was fantastic, very enjoyable. Obviously, working with Sean, which I know really well and have for a long time, and then the two young boys, Roman and Drake from Cincy and Miami. Were fantastic to see those guys up close and get to know them and build a bit of a relationship with them. But, you know, I hope in the future we can continue moving forward. But it's been fun, and it's exciting, that's for sure.
I think, you know, one of the cool things about that, you know, is that obviously you get to share these experiences not only in regards to your own goalkeeping community, your own goalkeeping unit here, but with others as well, too. And I know that when you go into a camp environment, it's not as much about learning as it is about maintaining or, you know, identification. But were there some moments where there were some teachable moments during those camps?
Yeah, very much so. I think we had 4 days, I think, on the pitch prior to the game. You know, and obviously, you know, everyone was coming off weekend games. All three of the guys had played, you know, and Sean was playing the game against Mexico. So, you know, it was a little bit geared towards him and what he needed prior to, you know, that game. And, you know, but I think that, you know, anytime you're doing any kind of work, especially for the younger guys, there's very much teaching opportunities and teaching moments and thought processes and, you know, just ways of training. And obviously it was both their first time in a camp, which was pretty big for them as well. And understanding the environment and, you know, obviously those there's nerves there for them as well. And they're trying to get that in check, so to speak. But yeah, I think any time that we can work and obviously share ideas and give them some thoughts. But like you say, in those environments, majority of the time, it is just, you know, keeping them ticking over, keeping them fresh, keeping them sharp in preparation for what they're about to partake in the game.
Yeah. Speaking of partaking in the game, the one and only Saskia Weber is going to be partaking in this game of this podcast now as she joins us here from lovely Woodland Hills, California. Going hardcore with the Angel City.
Yeah, I thought I'd change it up. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sas. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good to see you.
We were just talking about how because Sharpie got some time with the men's national team this past year, you know, working the camps and everything with the goalkeeping pool and everything. And he was talking about the fact that obviously it's about keeping those goalkeepers sharp. And obviously, Saskia, you know this being in those environments. But there are teachable moments and you don't want to detract from that just because you're trying to maintain or just identify goalkeepers, you know, for the pool if you see something.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's always teachable moments no matter what level you're at. You're not just there to be a trainer.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. I mean, and if somebody that's not a trainer, that's Chris Sharp. That's for sure. I mean, you train goalkeeper. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I mean, as in you do. You do a lot of coaching because you're not obviously just involved with the first team, but you're also doing a lot of the stuff at the grassroots level with the academy. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously the MLS Next Pro, we got the Raptors 2 in there now, which I have full-time help, which is fantastic. And then Brandon, who does the MLS Next Pro, is also the academy goalkeeper coach along with myself. So, you know, I think just for me, we have the youth club underneath that too, and that pipeline that comes from literally our U8s all the way through to the first team. In fact, we were just discussing this in the last week, but, you know, we have a pretty secure pipeline from the youth club, the young kids all the way through to the first team as far as the boys' side is concerned. And obviously the girls' side, we have the WPSL team that plays across the summer. So there is good moments for everybody on both sides, boys and girls. But, yeah, just obviously when we get them in the academy, you know, now it's U12, just trying to begin that process of getting them used to the environments that they're in and the expectations that we set are now really fending for yourself and not relying on mum and dad as much as they used to and trying to grow them up a little bit. And, you know, they're now we've got online school and they're in here full time from U16. And, you know, they're just a lot to process. And obviously now with MLS Next rules changing and the homegrown rules changing, we'll be able to bring in players and goalkeepers from outside the state. You know, boys that are moving here on their own away from their parents, which is fantastic, I think. But yeah, it's a really now just a holistic approach from top to bottom. And you know, obviously my primary job is with the first team and the academy, but making sure that it's a smooth transition all the way through.
I mean, I think that's just so important in regards to like having that smooth transition. You know, Saskia, obviously, you know, you've been involved, you know, environments, the collegiate environment, and then obviously the youth environment and obviously the professional environment and everything like that. And that, you know, you even just, you know, yourself, you know, you've seen like in NWSL in regards to during the Challenge Cup recently, how important it is to be able to have that transition from first team goalkeeper, to a lack of a better term, a reserve goalkeeper or a World Cup, you know, a reserve goalkeeper to be able to step in and play. Obviously, there is no reserve league yet in NWSL, but it is kind of the Challenge Cup is almost kind of that type of opportunity.
You want to set up that system where that there is no major transition that, like, you know, I always say it's your one and a half, whatever you want to call it, but you know, you don't want a drop in level. You don't want a drop in philosophy or anything. And a lot of the, you know, most of the goalkeeper coaches in the league have just prided themselves on the fact that they have such deep goalkeeping cores. And we've seen that in the Challenge Cup, especially. And when you look at like Angelina Anderson, let's say she was third for Angel City, stepped in the Portland game. And now, look, she's being talked about by everybody. We have an expansion draft coming up, and she might get picked up by Bay or Utah or even the following year, you know, and same with Brittany. So I think that, you know, we've seen Dan Ball, we've seen everybody just pride themselves on that core. And there should never be a shift. There should never be a, oh, so-and-so's coming in. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. And Sharpie, feel free to step in anytime. Don't wait for me to ask you a question or anything like that. But I do want to ask you, because, you know, go ahead.
I agree.
Yep, cool. No, I just said I agree with Sharpie. It doesn't matter if it's a one, two, or three. You know, you train them in the mold to step in at any point in time, whether it's injury or suspension or it's a red card in the game or whatever it looks like. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you as a coaching staff, you don't want to skip a beat. As a group, you don't want to skip a beat, and you have full confidence in whoever you're putting in. So yeah, I agree 100%.
And I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, Sask brought up and in regards to, you know, yourself, you know, Chris, in regards to with Colorado Rapids, is that, you know, even if there's not a potential to advance with the first team right there, it is your job to develop these goalkeepers at the academy and at the Rapids too, to be able to move on to that next level, whether it's with the Rapids or not, because ultimately that only makes a player, if they advance on to another level and let's say they get game time, and then in the future you do need a goalkeeper, there's a bigger pool of goalkeepers that you've put an investment in that you could bring back.
If your second and third goalkeeper are so solid and good, and like I said, you have expansion drafts coming up or even just a trade across the board and you need a field player and you got a great goalkeeper, like that's, you know, that's a commodity. So it behooves you to develop those keepers to the best of their ability. So either they're with you or you can move them on and get their worth.
I mean, we just saw that, Sharpie, just recently with New England Revolution. It looks like one of their goalkeepers is moving on to Chelsea right now. You know, they've sold two goalkeepers in the last year, and that money can be funneled back into. So if you get a diamond in your academy and you can sell them on to Europe, you know, that money could go back into your program.
100%. It's a catch-22. If you can find a diamond in the academy, you have, and you want to keep them, you know, you have them all the way through at that point too. You know, I think that for me, guys, you know, I look at our core of young kids, and obviously right now we've got Adam Boudry at an 06. Abraham, obviously, our 2002 is a first-team goalkeeper. We've got Zach Campagnolo, who's the US U15 number one as an 07. We've got Isaac Nemi, who's an 04 in college, D1. Andrew Cordes is a 03 in college, D1. Like the pool we have is very big. And, you know, you see in the summer when they all come back and train now with the Rapids too, we have six or seven goalkeepers in that group that are fantastic. And, you know, you're waiting for one of them, two of them, three of them to sprout and spring and kind of grab hold of their opportunities, which fortunately for us, two or three of them have. But yeah, if you can produce them and sell them on and reinvest that back into the club, it's fantastic. Yeah. Or keep them. If that's the club's philosophy, keep them on there. And it's something you produce from top to bottom, you know, goes to show that your work on the grass is working.
Yeah, and you have to look at it like you brought up a great point. Like, you never know as a goalkeeper. Like, look at Gotham and Smith. I mean, she just went down. You're coming into the final back end of the season where Gotham is in that running for playoff for everything. And now your second goalkeeper has got to start the rest of the season. I think she's out with, I don't want to speculate, but it was Achilles. So I think, you know, they have to be ready to go, period. You know, this is the most important part of the season for Gotham. And now they're, you know, technically their backup goalkeeper's in, and there shouldn't be any sort of a hiccup or drop in level.
I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things in regards to that is that, like, we never know what's going to happen with the season. We never know what the success rate's going to be, what the failure rate's going to be, whether, you know, opportunities are going to come up for players to move on or et cetera. And we just need goalkeepers that are going to be able to step in, and whatever our journey is for that year are going to be right for that journey. And kind of speaking into that, you know, I think there's a good transition intended in today's topic, which I think is a fantastic one, Sharpie, which is transitioning, you know, to defending the goal. I know this is a conversation that a lot of people have been having lately in regards to handling possession to out of possession. Why don't you break down what you mean by this, maybe for some parents out there who don't understand what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think, look, it's something we've placed a massive emphasis on at the club, on the goalkeepers in general, from the curriculum for the young kids all the way through the first team. And it's just a literally transition to defend the goal. In possession, out of possession, you know, obviously every team plays differently. Every team has a different idea of building out from the back. And everything looks completely different, in my opinion, for different teams. But I think for us, it's, you know, my idea behind it is trying to make these young goalkeepers and the pros as comfortable as they possibly can in positions that they are really uncomfortable in, and seeing repetition. And look, transition to goal happens, two or three passes, bang, you're gone. It could be a dribble off an opposition player and a shot from distance. It could be one through ball through, you know, a first time ball through. It could be anything. It could come from any, you know, and you've got to deal with defenders in front of you, attackers in front of you. You've been sucked out of position. If you're in possession, trying to support, give a supporting angle or whatever it is, and all of a sudden the ball gets turned over. You could be high. You could be too deep. You could be outside the frame of the goal in any moment. But I think a lot of the transition, in my opinion, comes when you are in possession of the ball more so than it does when you are out of possession of the ball. You know, out of possession is usually a ball in behind or something like that, where it's a quick ball at the top or through the lines. But nowadays with this idea and thought process of building out from the back is, you know, 90% of the game, that we end up as goalkeepers in positions that we don't want to be in, trying to support the group, support the person on the ball, try to find the spare player, trying to find the number up scenario, trying to break the first line, whatever it looks like. And it just happens so quickly. So for me, it's just finding the moments in training, especially looking at opposition, that we feel, and areas we feel they will get into, that, you know, may become a problem for us as goalkeepers, whether it's between outside backs and centre backs, whether it's between centre backs if you're playing a back three, whether it's, you know, in and around a six, whatever it looks like. You know, we have, in our mould, we have big athletic centre backs that like to block things and get their bodies in front of things. So a lot of deflections, especially in build out from goal kick, you find the centre backs end up close to you. So you're trying to deal with them as well. Find a little bit of depth and give you some time or close the space down, whatever it looks like. But just trying to train those moments where they are super uncomfortable, can't see things, are pulled in positions or they don't want to be pulled in. And I'm also a big believer in some sort of a distribution action, whether it's to start with or finish with, just to pull them into those moments as well.
Yeah. I just love absolutely everything you were saying right there, you know, and I think it's completely something that Susk and I, you know, have talked about consistently. And Susk, I know, you know, this is something that, you know, we see in NWSL now, especially a lot of the times, and sometimes goalkeepers are blamed, for lack of a better term, unfairly, you know, for actions that are unsuccessful, when based on the way that the team is playing and how they're asked to play, it's going to put them in uncomfortable areas, and things are going to happen, but you have to be willing to accept that.
Right, but, you know, you have to train it. And the thing is if you're the opposing team and you know that doing a high press and putting so-and-so under the goalkeeper under pressure on a back pass, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to make a successful distribution or next pass, then you're going to change your offense and you're going to do that. And so, you know, you want to go in with a team with a goalkeeper that you know is confident in bad scenarios, under pressure, you know, no matter what, because you don't want that to be a tactic of your opposition. You'd rather have them say, listen, if we keep high pressing Kaylin Sheridan, she's just going to keep breaking our line and we're going to be, you know, they're going to be in our defensive third in a minute. And so we've got to do a low block. And that's what you want. That means you're doing your job as a goalkeeper. But if you're constantly making mistake under high pressure, then they're going to be down your throat the whole game.
I mean, I think that's a really solid point right there. And talking about that pressure type of thing here, Sharpie, why don't you kind of break down what's going on in this activity first?
Yeah, this was just an early part of the week where we didn't have a game. You know, obviously got my four goalkeepers in there, two young ones and my two experienced guys. But this is just a little, obviously the screen there you can see in the middle, the guys cannot see the ball. I pulled the ball far enough away where they cannot see the ball completely. So it's just a little ball in. You know, obviously asking to look over their shoulder, have a look, little pass out to center back or six, find a little bit of depth, post the pass. And I'm very big on honoring things. So obviously the ball comes in from me, the ball goes out to the opposing goalkeeper. But I'm very big on honoring it. So I don't want them coming. So you can see there, if you just freeze it now, Mike, You can just see now, I've just asked them to wait until the ball touches the foot of the goalkeeper they play the ball to before they turn back inside. And it's just being honest a little bit rather than just playing the ball and coming to the next action. And then, as you can see right here, Will's played the ball. Abe's got, he doesn't know. He's got no idea what the space is coming, what space it is. And it's just transfer of weight, keeping, make sure you're keeping nice and balanced, nice and low, and then coming into a tight angle shot from me. And again, obviously honoring the second ball, which is the one underneath the screen. And then coming in tight angle shot for me. And I like the tight angle shot for me doing it off these, what I call the cutoff cones, the half cones, because there's a tendency, like when we hit a half volley, as the ball hit on a bit of a higher trajectory, the goalkeepers want to come up in their stance, in their body, and pop up from hips and knees, which obviously kills the space around their feet or between their legs. So just trying to keep them nice and low and balanced. And it gives me a variety of obviously distribution as well off the top of the cones. But here we're just training a transition moment, literally center backs of the screen in our ideal world, to just react what they can see. And the screen's at about 8 yards from the goal line, really.
I mean, I love this. And, you know, Suska, I don't know your thoughts right here, but I think this is so realistic to the game. You know, this is going to be, especially if you're playing, you know, tight spaces like this. This is, this type of obstruction is going to happen consistently, and you're going to have to be able to make that transition very quickly.
No, and I love this, but I also love what Chris said in the sense of being honest. When you play that ball out wide to the other goalkeeper, let's say the six or whatever, like, be honest. Don't just play the ball and just go on to, don't do the drill, right? So when you see him play the ball out, he's waiting, seeing what happens, then he's going on, then he's resetting, then he's got the ball coming from behind the screen and everything. So it's those little things make a big difference, because that is real. That is the reality of it. You're not just doing the drill.
I think too, from this position, guys, is something that I spoke a little bit about recently, like the shot that comes in from me on the second angle too. I've tried to position, I'll just freeze it, Mikey, when it gets to me. Keep going. So now I've tried to position the guy that's hit the ball under the screen and the person who's received the pass in areas that they may have to parry between, if that makes sense as well. So like, it might be if I'm in a position to cut the ball back and there's a forward, you know, in line with the screen, there's a forward on the backside, where now the position I'm shooting the ball from, these guys have to think about where they're putting the parry. You know, is it wide beyond out for a throw-in? Is it back in between me and the guy in the screen to keep it this side? Might have to go high back over the person in the middle. Just putting also them now, I'm asking them to think about when they can't catch and they have to put a ball in an area that's going to be successful for second balls as well.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think that is just so massive, because the thing is that, like, if it's not realistic, then now you're training bad habits, and now you're starting to get goalkeepers that are essentially conceptualizing, you know, moments as opposed to dealing with the reality in front of them. And you know, Suska, that's something that I struggle with in regards to when I'm working with foundational goalkeepers, is that how much of this do I keep scripted? How much of this do I keep unscripted? Because they are still learning the game and learning how to move within the game.
Right. But what you want to do is if you play every shot for its like legitimacy. So like what Chris is saying, like, you're not just getting a paw up and knocking it down and say, okay, I made the save. It's like, you know, in reality, where's that ball going? If you can't hold it, where are you pairing it to finish the save, finish the task in front of you, then move on to the next one? And what you find with foundational goalkeepers is a lot is they're, like I said, doing the drill. So they're like, oh, I made the save. But, you know, that you didn't finish the save. You didn't parry it into the right spot. You're just worried about the next shot. And so it's got to be one thing at a time.
I mean, I think that's a really good point right there. I think that what I've noticed is that, and I see this a lot of times at the younger ages, Chris, and you know, I'm sure you've seen this as well too, is people literally yanking goalkeepers into areas as opposed to letting them explore and get scored on. Like, let them get scored on as opposed to just force feed them where to be, because they're never going to learn how to be able to do it on their own that way.
Yeah, I think it's them playing with the comfort levels of where they want to be. You know, you can see in this picture right now that the little deflector is on top of the 6-yard box. You know, you've got a couple of mannequins to deal with there. But, you know, we talk about the depth, the height, where do you want to be? Are you more comfortable up close to the deflector? Are you more comfortable 3-4 yards behind it and give yourself a chance to react? You know, there's so many in like a session like this in front of us, there's so many facets to the actual positioning of the goalkeeper, the different angles of the shot. This is just a similar one of what you just saw on the other side, and that's why I put these two together. But now they can see the ball the whole way. So they have a different dynamic now of getting their feet going. They know it's going to hit the deflector. Do they start to go down if they're going to get beat, or they try and keep their feet a little bit longer, knowing it's going to come off there? Are their eyes good enough to see it's going to hit? You know, how high do they come on the shot here on the right-hand side, or their left-hand side, our right-hand side, if we're looking at it? You know, if they come too far or too close to the shot taker, are they giving themselves left option for the cutback or the ball back across the box?
And each goalkeeper is going to be different. So, 100%. You know, some keepers are better up closer to the deflector, and maybe that's their reaction, and they're like, you know, cats, and that's great. And others might need a little bit more depth 100%. And give themselves a little bit more time to react. And each keeper, it's not black and white. Each keeper's got to find their space.
And that's why I think it's important for us too, as goalkeeper coaches. Then we must train those individuals in that moment. There's no point in me, if Will's more comfortable being close to the deflector and Marco's more comfortable being deeper, there's no point in me trying to train Will like I train Marco.
Right.
But the philosophies are the same. The ideas are the same. You know, the profile of the goalkeeper is similar, obviously. But their ideals and the way we train them is slightly different.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to bring this up because, like, yesterday I had a session with a young woman, and, you know, she said to me, "Oh, I thought I'm supposed to drop back in this moment right here." And this was a cutback scenario, right? This was a cutback scenario, and the ball was cut back inside the box. And she's like, "But I thought I'm supposed to drop back." I'm like, "Well, you have to look at it logically." I'm like, if the ball goes negative out, yeah, then you're going to drop deep. So you have to, because you have time to react. But if the ball is coming in closer, you're going to have to come up higher and use those reactionary abilities of yourselves to cover off that dangerous space. So I think a lot of times, Sharpie, one of the problems that we get, at least with the younger ages, is that goalkeepers start trying to do things the same every single time, not recognizing that every picture is different.
Every pitch is different. No two balls, no two scenarios are ever the same. No two defenders are in the same spot. No two attackers are in the same spot. The ball's not hit the same way. The pace of it, it doesn't matter what it is. There's no two scenarios that are the same. But I think, you know, go back to what Sas said earlier, we have to train these moments. Everything's different. And this is, for me, the transition piece is chaotic. It's a chaotic moment. You're out of position. You're scrambling. You've got to get your feet settled. We talk a lot in our sessions about trying to be in the best position, not the perfect position.
Right.
The perfect position doesn't really exist unless you are planted in the right spot at the right moment, exactly the right time. But the best position you can get to get your feet settled, to get yourself balanced, to give yourself the best chance to make the save, you're going to be out of position sometimes, 100%. You might be too far left, right, too high, too deep, doesn't matter. But I think for them being those comfortable as they possibly can be in those really chaotic moments and finding the best spots they actually can and be balanced and be settled and give them the best opportunities. And like you said, everything's different. Everything ebbs and flows in different ways in games and in training sessions.
Yeah. And even with your training session, Mike, like the concept is, okay, maybe I'm supposed to drop deeper here, but does the pace of the ball and does the situation call for that? Like, dropping deep, you might be behind the play then. You might be too late. So by the time you get that depth and try to set, the ball's in the back of the net. So, you know, like Sharp said, it's better to be kind of set and them trying to get into the proper position, right? You know?
And I think that's something that I see a lot of times when it comes to young goalkeepers in transition, Sharpie, is that they literally all of a sudden get in their head and they're like, "Oh, I'm supposed to be over there." And then by then, it's too late type of a thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, look, the pace, the ball, you know, a little girl, you just said that if she drops to the line, and even though the ball's gone negative, if that ball's rolled negatively slowly and she can at least close the space rather than dropping off, then brilliant. If that ball's – if she's turns on the same line and is, you know, cuts across her goal on the same line that she started on because that ball's been zipped in quickly, brilliant. You know, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just – like I said, different goalkeepers in different methodologies in different moments, but you know, the outcome, the effectiveness of the movement and the position they take up has to be of the same nature. It has to be effective.
I love what you just said there in regards to like the pace of the pass too, because Saskia, I didn't even think about that in regards to the coaching points that I made with her yesterday, but that is absolutely so integral. If you have, if the ball's played slower, you have more time to come and steal space.
Right. So yeah, if the ball's played slower and you can come out and steal space, and now the only thing that now you've stolen enough space that you've basically the only thing that the player seeing is you, you know, then that's great. If you do it from a like black and white standpoint, okay, technically if the ball's out here, then I'm supposed to be deeper and you take it that way. Well, no, it's the situation. It's how slow is the pass? If the pass zips in, then get in position. If it, you know, if it's slow, come out and steal space. So it's there's so many factors there.
Yeah, and I you know, I like it, like even in this activity right here, Sharpie, like you're showcasing kind of the fact that like you might get caught leaning one direction and now you got to improvise and you got to adjust and you got to deal with the moment in front of you as opposed to like, well, I've already overcommitted over here. And I think that's just, you know, really realistic, you know, to do it that way. Are you a massive proponent of always having some sort of obstruction or deflection going on in your activities?
It depends on what we're training. I mean, we're trying to train a change just a moment here where we're trying to play. The idealistic is you're playing out from the back. If the ball turns over, then what, you know? And obviously that we're looking at feet as deflections and legs and arms and bodies and whatever else. And you know, this is a goal kick scenario where we played out from the back. You might've played the six or a high center back, for example, but a lot of the times we play out, the center backs come very narrow very quickly and they end up right in front of you and the ball turns over and touching a back and bang or shot quickly, you know, and you've got to deal with something that's so close to you. Again, getting your feet moving, getting balance. If it goes the opposite direction, pushing off the opposite foot, trying to steer bodies in directions that balls can be maneuvered, like you just see there from Adam. He's just turned his left shoulder. It's hit the middle of the chest. But again, thinking about what they're doing with the ball on the second shot as well. So the area is obviously the player who's played the ball in, which is the kit man here, is now in an area for the second ball or the third ball in this case to make sure the goalkeepers are putting parries into good areas or holding onto things or just creating chaos. I think there's one here coming up here with Marco where there's like three shots back to back to back to back. You can see there from Abe, a little reaction off the deflection, you know, nice and tight, and then he has to react again.
And the key is, like you said, Chris, is getting your shape, you know, and everything. Like I think of, okay, think of Earp's save against Spain, that deflection that ended up going near post, and she maintained her shape and got the kick save on it. And the ball was going far post, you know, and it was just that quick little redirection, but because she still maintained her shape, she was able to get her foot to it. It was a huge save. I mean, they lost, but it was a huge save. But that's exactly the scenario. So keep.
I guarantee she's trained it too, Sus. I guarantee she's trained it over and over and over again for that particular moment.
Because a lot of goalkeepers that don't would have gone right, so they would have gone, and their body weight and everything like that would have gone far post, and that little deflection would have gone in near post. Instead, she was able to maintain her positioning, her stance. Boom! Yep. Great save. It was a great save.
Fantastic. Yeah.
You know, Sharpie. One thing I'm just thinking about right here is obviously, you know, we're talking about the transition in these tight spaces and playing that ball out. I think a lot of the times, one of the biggest problems that we have, and something that I've tried to work on with goalkeepers over the years, is just the comfortability of spatial awareness of and how being able to transition from a support position high on the field to being able to defend the goal while still in a high area. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's I think a massive problem is I think a lot of goalkeepers immediately, especially at the foundational ages, we lose possession and they just bolt to the goal. They just bolt to the goal.
Yep. Fundamentally, the two drills, this one and the other one, are based off goal kicks. So they're going to find themselves deeper in these scenarios naturally just because of the phase of play. Obviously, I have a ball being played into them rather than playing the ball out. And again, it's just for working on their feet. And you can see here, I've put down the bottom here, this is a training tidy. You know, I think Adam goes down too early. I think he can see it's going to hit the mannequin on the last one and he goes too early. But, you know, I think for me, I'm training in these ones, I'm training the moments where we turn over goal kicks. You know, we do a lot where we work higher, start on the penalty spot, and we do transition from, you know, 30 or 40 yards out. But you can see here, look, Adam drops in to support, takes his, and he could probably still stay up a little bit longer, and maybe that left hand becomes more effective for him, you know, rather than goes down. You can see him here, look at his left leg as he starts to go. It comes out from his body here, you know, he's got good depth for me. He's nice and settled when I strike the ball. But he can see here, he's never really shifted to his right. He's just kind of taken off from the same spot he was in. I think if he stays up a little bit longer, the left hand becomes more effective. you know, but again, it's going back to what Sar said about Earp. He next time he sees this, he's going to want to get his feet going. Mm. You know, he's training these moments. You know,
and you know, it's what's amazing is how I wonder how many coaches out there and stuff actually train this. Like, how many of you actually train turning the ball over off a goal kick? Because right. How many times do we see it happen? And you're right, Mike. Like, all of a sudden it happens, and you see that pause from a goalkeeper. They're out of position and the ball's in the back of the net, right. As opposed to you have to train. Okay, I've turned the ball over. What's my first reaction? What am I doing? Get my shape, get my positioning and everything like that, and then deal with it, where we see that kind of deer in the headlights for a split second, and that's all it takes.
And look, our philosophy is a club that we you know, we're our head coach. We want to build out from the back. It's creating opportunities from building out. So if I don't train this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, I'm not doing my job, you know.
I mean, I think that's a great point. Kind of before we move on to some of the game clips and everything like that, I want to talk about what you were just talking about, you know, Susk with the goal kicks and, you know, Sharpie, you know, talking about like we don't train this enough type of thing. I've seen a lot of the times, especially with goalkeepers at the younger ages, and we talk about being able to transition, you know, into the defending the goal, they'll play the ball and they just expect the player to be successful with the possession. And then when they are not successful, they're a step behind because they're already in their mind thinking, okay, I'm a supporting player right now. Wait, we lost the ball. Wait, what happened now?
Right. That's the deer in the headlights. It's, mm-hmm. you know, if number one, you should be there for support again in case that player, you know, needs to pass it back to you or yeah, there's that missed touch. So you have to have that mentality. You can't take a breath.
No, and I think that's a really good point right there, Susk. I think it's one of those things about like teaching goalkeepers, especially young goalkeepers, to stay in the moment at all times because anything can happen at any moment, right, Sharp?
Yeah, and it can 100%. And I think too that, you know, it's not just giving the ball to someone and hoping they can get out of the situation that you give the ball to. For me, the philosophy is when I give you the center back the ball, I'm seeing why I'm giving you the ball. I know where I want you to go with the ball. I'm giving you the option to come back to me, or I know that I want you to go left back, right back, into the six, into the eight, down the line of the nine, whatever it looks like. But I've seen the numbers up scenario. I'm trying to get you into a numbers up scenario. I'm trying to make your life as easy as possible for the next pass that you're going to make, or whether it's giving it to you to get back to me so I can go somewhere else with the ball, not just giving you the ball and going, my job's done. Thanks very much.
Right.
Yeah. And which I think a lot of goalkeepers do, or they just kind of like, you know, get mad. Like I've seen that a lot of times too. Like Seska's like, they just get like, well, it's like, oh, it's your fault. You lost the ball, blah, blah, blah. As opposed to just dealing with the moment type of thing. I just see that so much. And I think it's just a lot of young goalkeepers just kind of emulate what they see on TV without understanding the why or the context of why.
Well, I think you also have a lot of young goalkeepers that just get frazzled and don't want the ball at their feet. Like, and they're like, the faster I can get it out from under my feet and put the responsibility onto somebody else, great. But, you know, that might not be the right pass. That person might have a bad first touch and everything like that. So, you know, you've got to be confident on the ball and know this isn't like a one pass scenario. Like Chris said, it's all right, I'm passing it to so-and-so because so-and-so is going to be open here and that'll get us up and, you know, change the point. You have to see three steps ahead.
You know, and I think, you know, one of the really important things when we're talking about this transition, a lot of young goalkeepers in Sharpie, I'm sure you probably agree with me on this. When they're looking at a topic like this, they're only looking at goal, you know, actions where it ended up having to be a save by the goalkeeper, as opposed to preventative movements. And you go like, this is a great play for you to watch. The shot was off frame or it was mishit or whatever type of a thing. But look at all the actions that the goalkeeper did here to allow them to be in a position where they were still successful.
100%. I think too, look, some of the stuff that that people miss when they look at the goalkeeper is, you know, the forward hit the ball over the crossbar, or the forward hit the ball wide, or we didn't have to make the save or the action. But the spot we're in made him go or her go a little bit wider, made them strike it a little bit harder, which puts them higher, you know, or the ball gets played through between, and this is the one I see all the time, the ball gets played between center back and outside back, and the goalkeeper comes out on the angle, and you know, the forward can go shot, a 1v1, or a cross cutback. And the goalkeeper goes flying out, and the decision's made for him, the player just lays it across the box and tap in. But the goalkeeper doesn't go flying out, gets to a spot, holds their ground a little bit, and now makes the forward think, which may make the defender come a little bit closer to the forward, They're not sure whether they lay the ball off because we still have the option of closing the cut back down. They're not sure whether to take a touch and take it on 1v1. By that time, the defender helps us, or they shoot it first time, which we're in a great spot. So really, we've got three of the three options covered rather than flying out and offering them or making their mind up quickly. And I think, you know, to the naked eye, that goes missed quite a bit, where the goalkeeper's made such a lovely choice to hold their ground or go to close the space and stop. Or they take a touch and on the first touch, they go as hard as they can and close the space down. And they take a second bad touch and it goes out for a goal kick. And they're like, the striker should have done better there. You know, there's so many moments like that. I think that we as goalkeepers have done such a good job in that moment that it's not really alluded to. It's poor forward play.
Yeah, it's bad on the forward.
100%.
Yeah, we've talked about that so many times, Mike, is that don't make the decision easy for the forward. Don't give them the answer, you know? And so, and even what we always refer back to when Michelle Akers was on the show, and she said that she would hate it when a goalkeeper would stand her up, in a sense, like come out, because they have to make a split second choice as well. You know, they know your defense is bearing down on them. They only have a split second to make that choice. Am I going to shoot it? Am I going to dribble the goalkeeper? Am I going to slot the ball, or what's going to happen? So don't answer the question for them. Like, force them to have to make that. And if you make them hiccup and go like that, then you've got them, because either your defense is going to catch up, they're going to shoot the ball into you, they're going to put it wide or anything. And that is, and I call that, when I see that in games, I'm like, that is a save. That was forced by the goalkeeper. They held their ground. They stood the player up. And that's the poor decision is because of what the goalkeeper did.
Yeah. I think that's such a great point. So Sharpie, I want to get to these clips right here. First off, you know, we're going to look at some of these things from the League's Cup. Obviously this is you guys against Toluca. These are teams you don't play often, you know, because they're in a different league than you. Does that change your scouting? Does that change your tactics and everything? Because you don't know these teams as well.
I don't think it changes our scouting. We obviously have a job to scout these teams, you know, to the best degree. Obviously, they played Nashville 3 days before we played them. We played Nashville first. You know, we watched five games. Myself and the other coaching staff, we watched five games previously in their Liga MX games. You know, we even went back to last year to watch the last two games against Club America at these guys. So we had a really good idea about how they wanted to play, who the danger players were. Obviously, it's a fit group of players, Toluca. They play at a very high altitude, higher than what we do here in Colorado. So we knew we were in for they were going to come hard at us. They were going to press us. You know, they had to win the game as we did. You know, so we kind of had an idea, really, of what we were going to see from them.
Higher than Colorado is, I think, something you'll never, ever see again.
Like Colorado Springs high.
Yeah, like high. Like
high.
High. Yeah. So there was one
Mexico City high.
Yeah, there was one guy on their team. I think it was Rodriguez, number 7 or 11 or whoever it was. His ability to run at pace for the whole 95 minutes was outrageous. Like, it was breathtaking on the sideline to watch him.
All right, so let's go into this here. So Yarbrough's got the ball. This is in the 21st minute against Toluca. He plays the ball out. It's a simple bowl out. It's a lost possession down the middle. Yarbrough drops back for depth. And this is one of those things where it's like he's patient, but he's reactive at the same time, Sharpie. He's not like, you know, like just kind of lollygagging back type of a thing. The ball's kind of swung around after some dribbling by Juan Dominguez, and then a shot from distance wide by Robert Morales. That's a save. That's a save, in my opinion, because he did everything to put himself in a successful place so that the shot goes wide.
Yeah, look, Will and I watch this a lot. Context of the game, I have to throw it in there. We needed to win 2-0 or by two goals. As you said, 21st minute, where it's 0-0 at this point. Will sees Danny has a – if you can see it from this spot, there's a lot of space on the left side facing Danny, and Will can see if Danny just turns out of this – we could be. What you can't see is the three guys for us that are high. Will gets it, trying to force the issue, trying to force the play a little bit, sees that Danny could turn out. Danny takes a touch back underneath the pressure. If you let the ball run, he probably goes through the gap. But now if you can see, you know, you can see Will's, obviously everything we just worked on, Will's now backtracking to try and find a little bit of depth in there. There's probably not a real concern here for a slotted ball through, because there's no one in the high in the line to go through. So he's thinking shot, deflection, depth. Mm-hmm. It was his first thought right now, you know. But also, something we train on.
Also lucky he didn't shoot right when the turnover happened.
You know, but that's the part that we work on too, is that those loss of, you know, between the 6 yard and the penalty spot, stopping, getting your feet right, and making sure you're giving yourself the best chance.
I mean, these are some very good players, man. I was watching like Juan Dominguez, Robert Moran. Guys are
Dominguez, unbelievable players.
Quality players. So, you know, you're going to understand that. You're going to understand this guy can dribble under pressure like that. And that because of that, that's going to – anything can happen in those moments type of thing. You know, obviously, you know, like you were talking about in regards to like preventing, you know, preventing those kind of dangerous slotted, you know, through balls and those sorts of things is so important, Saskia, you know, in these types of moments, because if you allow any sort of space when you lose the ball in transition, that's in the back of the net.
Yeah, but you also don't want to bite, you know. So defensively, what you want to do is just have that distance and that space. So number one, he can't shoot from distance on the quick turnover, and number two, but the defensive line is where it should be, and there is no option for a slotted ball there. There isn't, and if there is, then you're on it, because the space in between the six and kind of where that slotted ball would come, then you can come for that through ball. So you have to be expecting that as well. So even though you're not, like, they might try it, even though nobody's on it, but you all, multiple things going through your head. I got to protect my goal, number one. If there's a slotted ball, I have to be ready on the jump to come get it. But, yeah, it's just good positioning.
Todd Hoffer just says, my man Sharpie, hello, everyone, exclamation point.
Hey, buddy.
So, what's up, Hoffer?
Hey, Todd.
Todd, you owe us an email. Just saying. all right, let's move on to this next play right here, because this is a very different type of a play. And this is, I think, this is late in the game, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Sharpie? Mm-hmm. It's like 92nd minute. The ball's kind of played out wide on immediate chase to Rosenberry. The first thing I notice right here, Sharpie, is that there's two guys right there. There's two guys on chase right there on Rosenberry. So he's in a difficult position right here. He ends up playing that ball out around like the 30. Is that Sam Nicholson that has that ball? He tries to kind of pass it, kind of lost. And then it's Dominguez again, who plays that ball out to, is that Jesus Angelo? Another ball in right here. But we're noticing like Yarbrough's doing everything he can in this moment. Mm-hmm. He's involved in the actions. He's not overthinking the fact that like when this ball was played kind of wide starting right here, this guy's now stuck. What do I do here? Instead, he's completely involved in the action the whole way.
But he's not stuck. That's just a horrible pass.
I completely disagree with what you said there, Mike.
Absolutely. He is not stuck.
Go back to the start of it.
Not stuck. It's a bad flick on.
This ball to me, the pace of this pass is brilliant right there.
Okay.
Because it allows Keegan to get his body facing forward now. And now the ball that Keegan is playing to Sammy Nick, if Sammy Nick lays this ball off nicely to Moy Bombito,
then they're
out. Are off to the races.
Absolutely. Okay. Look at that space he has. If he plays that right,
look at the play on the far side of the field.
Why is he flicking that? That's his mistake. I think they beat the first line. They beat the press. This is a bad pass right here.
Yeah.
If he passes that into his feet, then they're out that side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at the other side. Look at the far sideline. And this is something we're trying to get across the field. If Sammy Nick just nicely lays that ball off into Des Moines' path, we're out. And for me, it's a wonderful choice from Will, because the pace, the pass from Will allowed Keegan to get his body right and face forward. I think the choice from Keegan is very good, in my opinion, because he's given Sam enough opportunity to play it first time.
Yeah.
And then I think if it's in Moy's path, we're off the races.
Yeah, I agree.
Now that I see it again, I see that space that was
open
right
there. Look
at all
that space, but it's this next pass that screws everybody.
Mm-hmm. So Sharpie, if let's just say those two Toluca players were a little bit further towards the near post right there, then it would be a more of a problematic pass, right?
Yeah, if Keegan's body shape can get facing forward and this pass is still on, doesn't matter how close the player is. Obviously, if he's all the way on top of Keegan, then obviously that's not the right choice. But I think he's done it in a way where he's allowed, if he'd smacked the pass into Keegs and Keegs had to take the touch and then turn his body, I think it would have been in trouble. But the pace, the pass still allowed Keegan to get his body right before the ball got to him, which, I mean, for me, the ball from Keegan to Sammy Nick is brilliant because it allows him to lay it off first time.
Yeah, I agree.
If this goes into Moy's and then Moy breaks the second line, we are gone at this point.
Agreed.
Okay. This is we learn every time. This is why. No, honestly, this is great. This is great for me because I think, you know, one of the things, especially for me, is I work primarily with younger goalkeepers. So the things that I'm working on might be, let's just say, a little bit more foundational. So it's
right. But what you don't, want is for somebody to turn around and say, oh, you shouldn't have passed that initial pass there. That's not true. That pass was brilliant. It's great.
Yeah.
It's the pass by, you know, the secondary player that messes everything up, and he's got to do better on the ball, and they're out.
Got it. So Sharpie, now the ball's lost here after that ball that Sam Nick played. Now what's Yarbo's decision? What's he supposed to do?
Well, he just got to obviously assess what's in front of him. You know, obviously he's got Keegan still off the picture here, but now he's got, if he frees it right there, you can see how he's a little bit higher now because obviously there's no immediate threat of a through ball, but he has to be thinking about the two guys that are coming left and right side of the player who's on the ball. I think it's Pedro right now that has the ball at his feet, can go either side. You know, and he's got to be in a position where he's got a clear line of sight down the ball. It's not as though that any of our center backs are in between the ball, the line of sight, and him. So now he's got a clear line of sight straight down the line of the ball where he can afford to be a little bit higher, close the angle a little bit more, as you can see from here. But the player chooses to go back outside.
No. So, and then the ball's played here. It's a track position here. Now the chase is on right there. So is there a slight deflection right there? Is that what happens?
It comes off the back of his heel, I think. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, for me, if you go just click it back a little bit, Mike, you know, it just becomes a little bit of defending. I think Will's in a really good spot to take the shot here. Like, he's at a great space. He's nice and balanced. There's a guy who plants his right foot before he strikes it. You know, you can see the defender's covering his left side, the back post. So Will's job is the 4-yard goal on the near side to make sure that he doesn't get beaten there. And hopefully the defender blocks the back side of the goal for him. I think we can be a little bit tighter inside too, marking up in the box there. But obviously, then Wills just, you know, tracks the ball across and it's a good finish, far post. But he has time to take a touch, which is not what you want in the box either.
No, but Will did everything he could in that moment.
Yes.
You know? I mean, and I think probably Susk would probably agree with that. Is there anything else you see, Susk, here before we move on? Oh, you're on mute.
No, I think his positioning's great here. The far post is covered. Defenders have to be tighter. There's no reason anybody gets two touches on this ball in the box. And then because of positioning was good, it's not too big of a movement. I didn't see the finale of that. But no, so there's nothing on him and there's nothing on Will.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed at my defense.
Sharpie, how are you doing on time? Because I know you got a flight.
Yeah, good, mate. No, it's tomorrow. I've got a meeting at 2:30, mate, so I'm flying. So it's all good.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so let's move on right here. This is against Nashville. Was this game after the Toluca game, or was this before the Toluca game?
Before the Toluca game, yeah.
Before the Toluca game, okay.
Yeah.
So 63rd minute, it's a ball out to Danny Wilson. It's kind of played up to midfield. It's kind of lost right here, it looks like. Yeah, right there. And now it's a quick counter, right? It's Shaq Moore to Randall Leal, and then end line to Mukhtar, I think, eventually, right?
Yeah.
Right here. So let's just take it back from the pass back here. So I'm not going to say anything because I don't know apparently how to play possession out of the back. So let's just start with that play. Where is it? Is it right here? Oh, okay. So right here. Okay. So what's going on first? Whoop.
Yeah. I think again, it's the same thing. He's got the center back facing forward. To be fair, and you look at this in the big picture from above, the ball from the center back is absolutely superb. I think the forward just has to do a bit more for us, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay.
This ball for me, from Danny, is a very, very good pass. It goes back behind the 10 or the 8 in this case. It undercuts him. And I think the 4 just has to do a little bit more to hold up and be a bit stronger in this moment.
Yeah. Susk, anything you want to add here? You're on mute.
I'm watching.
Okay.
Let's see. I mean, okay. I think that's a tough pass. I think that, again, you're picking things that aren't on the keeper in a sense. Like, this isn't a ball that was forced into a bad spot by Danny or anything like that. This was given so your defender's faced up and the next pass isn't the best pass. You know, you could have gone shorter into the middle to your six.
Go on there, Jace.
you know, to try to bypass that line with four yellows around you, I think is a tough pass, and you get the turnover for it. So again, it's a good pass. It's a good initial pass. You're faced up and you see the entire field in front of you. You can't control what everybody does with the ball.
No.
You know, but no, he's not giving a pass into a bad situation. He didn't force his outside back into a bad situation. It was a bad pass again.
No, Susk, you just brought up a really good point in regards to that there. It's like most transitions into defending the goal are not going to be because you made a quote-unquote mistake. It's going to be because there was some sort of loss of possession based on the actions that were taking place on the field in front of you. Sharpie, one of the things I hate about television broadcasts is you literally can't see the development of transitions because they focus on the ball, not on the goalkeeper. So what happened to Will? Where's Will now?
I think probably penalty spot ish, give or take. Obviously you can see he comes in the screen just here after this pass is played.
Boom, right here.
So I think for now he's in a good spot. Obviously, if the ball goes wide, I think it's into Liao. He's in a good spot to look at the cross that goes across the box, or you know, if it's dinked in over the top, you can see he just holds his space centrally a little bit higher. just keep going. And or freeze it right there. He's in a spot to obviously take the cross. And or if the ball's played a little bit further away from Hani Mukhtar towards him, he can come and close the space down. You know, and then we get into these spaces in here. We talk about it. We work all the time. The cutbacks, you've got to protect that small four-yard goal from post and 4 yards out from here, you know, as he turns in and squares up. You can see he takes a nice big area, chunk of the area here.
I see it right there. Now, question for you right there. Is this too close to the near post, or are you comfortable with this right here?
I think we had this discussion. Look who's on the ball. This is a guy here that has absolutely smashed balls high near post for the last 3 years and scored from these angles. So, Will, right now, if this is Shaq Moore, if this is Dax McCarty, maybe even Liao in these moments, it's probably a little bit different. But because this player has and in our scouting and in watching the clips of Hani Mukhtar before we play, if you give him a little bit, he will take a lot. And I think that's when we did our review on this, and I asked Will, do I think you, in my eye, do I think you're a little bit too near? I do. I think he could probably be another half a yard maybe to his right. But I'm asking these guys to give me answers as to why. If I'm putting in these situations, and he said to me, look who's on the ball, Sharpie. If I give him a half a yard, there is a likelihood that he is going to smash his high over my left shoulder. You know, so.
Yeah, and also look at the positioning of your defender that's coming towards him. So that's in the flow. So he kind of, if he slots that ball, there's a very narrow space right there. You know, as well.
Yeah, you're talking about the defender taking away the right
side
of Will.
Well, you have the defender. Goal side at the top of the six, but you also have the near defender that's taken away the slotted ball.
Yeah.
So there is only that space.
100%. And in this moment, his only thought was, we watched a lot of video about where our defender is. It's close to Hani Mukhtar. Absolutely rifle the ball high near post, and that was the number one thing that he had in his head at this moment.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, I mean, this is a tough situation. Again, a ball is cut back like that and it's slotted into such a tight area like that. There's just literally only so much you can do in that situation right there. I want to move away because of time right now. You kind of shared kind of some final actions right here type of thing. So now these are kind of like encounter situations.
The transition moments high up the field. You can see we've just turned the ball over and now it's into goal. You know, and here's a situation I think I talked about earlier. You know, when he's got the ball wide in that wide area and the clip before here, you know, if you just go back a little bit further, Mikey, he's
right here.
Yep, right here. Okay. Yep. Okay. You know, like there's really he can start coming towards the player here and obviously give him an option. You know, which I see a lot of the young kids do at this moment. When that touch is taken towards the goalkeeper just comes and the player just goes, yep, across and a tap in.
Yeah.
You see by Will's position here, it gives our defenders a chance to defend.
Yep.
And then it allows Will to have options, option one, option two, option three.
Right, and we always say that, Mike, is like allow Like, if you give some depth here and you don't come, it allows your defenders to recover, which is what you want. If you come, you're answering the question for the forward. You're making it easy.
That's a great point because there's so much ground to cover right there.
If he takes a super long touch directly at you, well, now you have time to steal ground as well.
Yeah. And then great movement across, nice and big out.
And this, I will say, we said don't just go, but this, in a sense, this is the time you do. Yep. Because what, and I'll say it, young goalkeepers out here, look at when he's traveling to the space. Okay, a lot of goalkeepers make the mistake that they are slow on this. They wait till the ball arrives before they move. And we see that with young goalkeepers. And now you're behind it, the ball's getting passed into the back of the net. He's stealing his space while the ball's in no man's land. And we tell goalkeepers that all the time. That's when you steal your space. Nobody's going to hit it, nothing. Get across. And now he's right. When the ball arrives for the shot, he's right on that player's foot.
Yeah. With no time for that guy to react. No time for that guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Boom. I mean, these are great. Here's another immediate chase. So it's like you're talking about, you know, it's like that second ball right here. So shots hit. Yeah. Cover that ground,
balance to get up. You know, he did a lot of young kids will go all the way to the ground here, go all the way down on this side. And Will just has the presence of mind to stick his leg and his hand in the ground to go, okay, I've got to get back up on my feet. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be pretty, but it's effective.
Yeah. I also like when he got back up on his feet there, he took another step forward.
Yep.
He took he had that split second to say, let me steal a little more space, make myself big. And that attributed to that space, that save.
This clip here to me, this is earlier on in the year, but this was a transition moment. We turned the ball over. We had possession of the ball. We turned the ball over here. Will, in the big picture, Will is quite high here because he's looking for this. But this guy, Brian White, takes a touch and hits it quickly. Mm-hmm. And Will gets caught moving. And his presence and his nous to stick his hand up in this moment. But he just had enough balance to hold his feet long enough to allow his arms and his upper body to work a little bit for him.
Yeah, I noticed that right there. I'll be honest with you. I've been caught in this situation before, and I've gone too down. I've been too low. Yeah.
Well, it's also the quality of a striker, and if you know who you're up against, and they have that quick release, you have to be ready for that. And we see some strikers in the NWSL now. It'd be like the one thing that's so great about certain people is like if you say a Smith or something like that, is it's that quick release. So it's a touch and a shot, and so you'll catch your goalkeepers moving, but he has the presence of mind to kind of get himself at least so he can get a hand to it.
Mm-hmm. And these are all just moments. I mean, the one before against Orlando and the shot Perea hit against Marco, we were in possession. We built out, we're in possession. Darren was in the ball, loses it. Touch, touch, touch. Smack from 25 yards going in top corner. It's an absolute hell of a save. But these, again, we're in possession here. This is against Sacramento, I think, in the cup. In possession, transition. Yep. Great spot to stay, you know.
Good position.
Yeah. I mean, these are awesome moments, man. I mean, Sharpie, I really appreciate you putting all those clips together for us. You know, that was really, really awesome of you. You know, kind of as we're kind of wrapping up everything, you know, Sharpie, do you have any advice for any like young goalkeepers who are always caught out in transition? Like what can they do to start putting themselves in a better place?
I don't know if it's about putting themselves in a better place. I think it's about being more comfortable in those uncomfortable positions. You know, goalkeepers are always going to get caught out of position. It's the way the game is evolving right now. It's not as black and white, like Sar said before. Long ball, squeeze up, in position, you know, different coaches want different things. You know, there's going to be pragmatic times when you're away from home and you want to go long. Great. But there's going to be times when you want, you know, especially at the young ages, I would prefer that we're trying to let these kids be or make decisions in the moments they need to make decisions in with the ball at their feet. But the best and the biggest way for us as young coaches and the young goalkeepers is to train these moments. Mm-hmm. There has to be game scenarioed moments in training every day. It can't just be one day a week. Every time you've got your young kids, every time the young kids are in, there has to be these, and it doesn't have to be in transition, but these game scenarios where you are pulling goalkeepers into positions that they do not want to be in, and you're forcing them to be comfortable or training them to be comfortable in the chaotic, uncomfortable moments. And the more they get comfortable with these positions and the more they see them and the more they balance and the more they're, you know, feeling depth and height and left and right, and east, north, south, east, west movements behind the players in front of them, they're going to be way more comfortable in these chaotic moments.
I just love what you said right there. I mean, that's so, again, I love it when I learn during the show. I mean, I always learn, but like sometimes I have moments. I'm like, man, I'm like, I wish I'd thought of that. I never thought about that before. If only I'd thought of that before I had my session yesterday or anything like that. Susk, anything you want to add to that?
No, I agree. We've talked about it so much. You have to train the chaos, you know, it's not all pretty. You know, it's not, you know, you get the pass, through ball, goal. But, you know, 90% of goals come from chaos, deflections, turnovers. And you have to train those scenarios. You have to.
Yeah.
You know, to be effective. You just got to be effective. Effective goalkeeping. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be. It has to be purposeful and it has to be effective.
Keep it out of the net.
Yep.
And speaking of being effective, if you want to learn from people like Chris Sharp, we have a little bit of an announcement to make. We're starting to get everything nice and ready for the official launch of the Union platform, our premium subscription service. If you guys are not on the free service right now, this show is only going to be available on the Union starting very, very soon. So if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, anything like that, please make sure that you sign up right now. It's completely free to join our engagement forum. But we're also going to have a premium subscription service where you're going to be able to be mentored for people such as Sharpie. And Sharpie, we're absolutely humbled and honored that you're going to be involved in this process with us. We're really, really excited. I know there's so much that you can give back. I know during the pandemic, you did some breakdown sessions with Omar at ProGK Academy that were absolutely fantastic. So we're just really, really humbled and honored that you'd be willing to come on board with us. So,
mate, I'm so happy that you guys are doing this. Like, this is brilliant. I said to you yesterday when we were texting, but I mean, we need more of this, you know. And I think for me and for SAS, people who are in the thick of it every day, we're always learning as well.
Absolutely.
You know, there's nothing I can't go out and watch my academy coaches, or, you know, they have ideas. They have things that we don't think of in training sessions. And some of these young goalkeeper coaches that I have around me, the way they can connect with the young kids is pretty frightening. And I think for me, it's a different generation of humans these days, as we all know. And I think for what you guys are doing as a goalkeeper union and trying to give more young coaches more time in front of opportunities to learn and craft and hone their own skills and then put it on the field, I think it's only going to benefit goalkeepers in this country.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things too, you know, that we talk about is that I think not everyone has access to you, Sharpie. You know, not everybody lives in Colorado, right by the Rapids facility. And, you know, some people might be in rural Iowa, you know, working in a rec program, and, you know, or a parent, you know, who's got a young goalkeeper, you know, playing in an area that doesn't have a professional academy nearby them. So to be able to have access to somebody like yourself, I think it's just going to open so many doors for people, and not only just improve the level of goalkeeping in this country and the world, because we just see it that so many people, they only know what they know because of what they're exposed to.
100%. You know, yeah. I think the more, you know, I think the more, even my colleagues, you know, Phil Weddins, Paulie Rogers, the Drew Keyshawns, Aaron Hides, all these guys that continually help in the educational space, I think it's massive, you know, and all, you know, like Dan Ball and all the guys on the girls side too, I think are fantastic. That I've actually made some really good connections with, to be fair, because there's some, you know, a couple of Aussie guys over there on the other side as well that are doing it. So I think it's fantastic, to be fair. And I think the more we can kind of collectively put this information together for everybody, I think even for us, Sus and myself, we're learning, you know, which is great. So
yeah. Well, Sus has to start wrapping up here right now. She's got to go and keep learning and preparing for the matches this weekend. If you want to reach out to Suskia, obviously it's at Suskia on the Union platform. If you want a guest suggestion or topic suggestion for us, go to contact@insidethe18media.com or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union. Sharpie's going to be getting involved on the Union right now, but I think he has a profile on the platform right now that's just being built. But I think your handle is at c.sharp. Is that right?
Yes. Yep.
At c.sharp. So guys, that's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out.
Bye guys.
See you guys. See you guys. Bye. Bye-bye.